This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن والاه. وبعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحديث حديث محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أيها الأخوة الكرام وأخوات السيدات، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. To the respected non-Muslims who may be present here, whether there is one or many, we like to show our gratitude for your presence, and we hope that what we have to say, the comments that we make, will benefit you and provide you with some insight into a very important, sensitive topic. We want to thank the municipality where this lecture is being held for facilitating this. We want to thank the owner and staff of this facility for making it available to the Muslims to make this presentation. We want to thank the Kind Islam group and the Yomis organization for coordinating, collaborating to make this happen. We want to thank the elders of the various masajids in the local area for their indulgence and their tolerance in letting the young people move forward and establish a new precedent. And of course, we want to thank the brothers and sisters who have made the sacrifice to be here. The topic that that we're going to address today is the rights and the responsibilities of the Muslim woman. And of course, we hope that our sisters will benefit directly. But we hope that our brothers will listen, because it may help you in your future marriages, or the marriage that you are presently in. It may help you better to appreciate your mother, your sisters, your daughters. And it may help also to remove the distortions about Islam and Muslims, many of which originate from the Muslims themselves. This lecture was written in 2005, so nearly 8 years ago. We have delivered this lecture in some 13 countries. And I didn't rewrite it or rehash it. I'm going to read it exactly the way it was written, because you can't change water. Water is what it is. Regarding the ayats of the Quran or the ahadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because everybody here speaks English for the most part, or you're speaking Danish. So, for the sake of the time, I will not translate much into Arabic, or I will not read much of the Dala'il in Arabic, because then I would have to translate into English. So it's taking time. So if there's anyone who would like to have a copy of this lecture, just sign your name and send me an email. And our administrative assistant, he will send you a free copy of the lecture, and then you can go to the Nas of the Quran or the Ahadith, and you can get the Arabic reference for yourselves. All the praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who reminded us in his book, "Verily we created you male and female and made you into tribes and nations in order that you may know each other, لتعرفوا, and not despise each other. Inna akramakum inda Allah atqakum. Verily, the most noble of you in the sight of Allah is those who have the most Allah consciousness, taqwa. All the praises for Allah, who set the balance of equity between men and women and extended his unlimited bounty to both of them by saying, and wish not for the things in which Allah has made some of you to excel others. For men there is a reward for what they have earned, and likewise for women there is a reward for what they have earned. And ask Allah of his bounty, surely Allah is ever knowing of everything." And the first ayah I recited was from the 70th surah, the 13th verse. And the second ayah I just recited was from Surah An-Nisa, the 32nd verse. All the praises for Allah, who mandated the contractual relationship between men and women through his saying, all the praises for Allah, who mandated the contractual relationship between men and women through his saying, and among his signs is this, that he created for you mates from among yourselves, that you may dwell with them in tranquility and peace, and he has placed love and mercy between your hearts. Verily, in that are signs for those who reflect. You will find this in Surah Fussilat, the 21st ayah. All the praise is for Allah, who distinguished the role of the believing woman, and in doing so elevated her above shame and corruption, and illuminated her path towards paradise. Listen to these verses from the surah, which Allah calls in the Quran, Surah Al-Ahzab. And whomsoever of you, women, that are obedient to Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and does righteous deeds, we shall give her reward twice over, and we have prepared for her rizqun karimun, a noble provision of paradise. O wives of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are not like any other women. If you keep your duty to Allah, then do not be soft, provocative, and alluring in your speech, lest one in whose heart there may be some disease or some hypocrisy or some lust, they might be moved with desire. But speak in a very honorable, decent manner. And stay quietly in your homes, which means the more prevalent place for women is their home. Doesn't mean they have to stay home, but the more prevalent place for women is the home, because that's where the children are. Secondly, that is where they are the safest. And thirdly, that is where their beauty can be displayed without any fitna. And stay quietly in your homes, and do not display yourselves like that of former times of ignorance, and offer your prayers perfectly, aqimus salat, and give your zakah, and obey Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah only wishes to remove you and protect you from a ridge. Ridge here means evil deeds and sins that might be done by yourselves, or evil deeds and sins that you may be affected by. O members of the Prophet ﷺ's family, and also to purify you with a thorough purification. And remember, O you members of the Prophet ﷺ's family. And here, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to the Prophet ﷺ with this revelation and directing that revelation to the Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, he's also directing it to the best women. He's directing this towards the best women. So if Allah is warning, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is advising the best women, certainly this advice is for the women in general. And remember, O you members of the Prophet's family, the grace of your Lord, that which is recited in your houses, of the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the hikmah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you may give thanks to Allah and glorify His praises for this Quran and this Sunnah. Verily, Allah is ever well acquainted with all things. Verily, the Muslims who submit to Allah in Islam, the men and women, the believers, men and women who believe in Islamic monotheism, the men and women who are obedient to Allah, the men and women who are truthful in their speech and deeds, the men and women who are patient, the men and women who are humble before their Lord, the men and women who give sadaqah, the men and women who fast, the men and women who guard their chastity from illegal sexual sins, and the men and women who remember Allah much. After saying that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, it is not for a believer, male or female, when Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prescribed a matter or decreed a matter, that they should have any option about that decision. And whosoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they have indeed strayed away in clear error. Those ayats that I just recited are from the surah, which is called Ahzab, and it's from the 31st to the 36th ayah. All the praises for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who revealed unto His servant Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the book Al-Quran, and allowed therein no crookedness. This is from the surah Al-Kahf, the first ayah. All the praises for Allah, who told us in His book, certainly, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالذَّكَرَ اللَّهُ كَثِيرًا. So He said, certainly there is for you, in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most perfect pattern of human behavior for him or her who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last day and remembers Allah much. One of the ways we show our respect and following of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is by referring and complying with his sunnah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said in His book, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْ فَانْتَهُوا. So, whatever the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives you, permits you, take it. And whatever He forbids you, warns you about, leave it. Dear Muslims, listen to the advice and the instructions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abdullah ibn Amr Ibn al-As radiallahu anhu related that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The world and all things in it are precious, but the most precious and useful thing in the whole world is a virtuous woman." It's important that the Muslim brothers, they understand that. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you a Muslim woman, you have, by virtue of taking her and paying the mahar, you have one of the most precious things in your hands. She's not perfect, but neither are you. But Allah don't call us precious, He called them precious. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Shall I not inform you about the best treasure a man can have? It is a virtuous woman who pleases him when he looks at her, who obeys him when he commands her, and who guards herself when he is absent from her." Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu related that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Every one of you is a guardian and a protector and a shepherd of that which is in their immediate charge. And they all will be held responsible for those persons under their care. The ruler is a guardian and is accountable for those under his authority. A man is a guardian in respect of his family members and household. A woman is the guardian in respect to her husband's house and children and property in his absence, and everyone will be held accountable for that which is under their responsibility." These ahadith which we just read, you'll find them in Sahih Bukhari. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu related that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Had it been permissible that any person may prostrate themselves before another, I would have ordered that a wife should prostrate herself to her husband." Now, in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is saying to the Muslim woman that when you have a husband that pays the mahar, that takes care of you, that protects you, that honors you, that preserves your distinction, he almost deserves the kind of shukr, that is thankfulness, that is near to sajda. But of course, there's no sajda to no human being, to another human being. We only make sajda for Allah. But we should see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how the Prophet ﷺ characterized this hadith. So, the brothers, they shouldn't like use this hadith, you know, to tell the sisters like, you know, "Yo, check me out, see what the Prophet ﷺ, he said." Why? Because most of you, most of us, we're not even giving the rights to the sisters. So in many cases, the sisters, you didn't give the sisters nothing to even be thankful about. How you expecting like almost? But if we struggle as men to deliver to them their rights and go beyond the rights to give them their dignity and their distinction, then the sisters should understand the level of obedience and respect that they should have for their husbands. Allah mentioned in the Quran, "الرجال قوامون على النساء," that men are responsible for women. From what Allah gave them, Allah, He gave you some physical strength more than them. Allah, He gave the man a responsibility of emotion, a responsibility of political authority more so than them. Allah, He gave to the men the ability to protect the borders and to defend the women and the children and the properties more so than them. Therefore, this is why Allah, He said, الرجال قوامون على النساء, that men generally they have one daraja, they have a social, psychological, political daraja in front of Allah. This daraja is a responsibility which is earned by the men. Now, so the men who is not taking care of their wives or their mothers, you know, when a boy becomes 18 years old, he's supposed to be taking care of his mother. Not his mother still taking care of him and him still living with his mommy. When a man marries his wife, a woman, he can't be putting her on the welfare. Because if he put her on the welfare, she's taking care of him and the kids. Then the man is like spiritually pimping. Now, brothers, if you don't like it, don't make no difference. If that's what you're doing, that's what it is. The man needs to be dignified. He needs to be also very, like, he has to have ghira. He has to be jealous that any money comes into his home for his family, it comes from him. Even the man, he do not want to take money from his father for his family. So if I don't want to take money from my father, from my uncle, from no man, from my family, how the brothers allowing the sisters to go downtown and subscribe to the welfare? How you allowing the check to come in your wife's name? How you living in the house in assembly which actually the council is taking care of the house? You ain't taking care of the house. Then you come to the mosque acting like, you know, saying you a pious Muslim with your kufis and turbans and thobes and arguing about, you know, who you are and the dalail, this hadith and aqidah and blah, 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 when in actuality you have no dignity in front of Allah. So we men, we have to work hard to get to a station where we earn the rewards and the distinction which Allah said, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. And every man here knows how he feels when he takes care of his family. When his wife doesn't have to worry about anything material because her husband takes care of that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we men, that we are honest. We have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we men, we work hard to earn that distinction so we can remove the distortion that other non-Muslims, other human beings see when they visit the Muslim communities. Remember in the khutbatul wida, the last khutbah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his parting words to the ummah, he warned us regarding the rights and the treatment of women. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O people, fear Allah concerning women. Verily you have taken them on the security of Allah and have made their persons lawful unto you by the word of Allah. It is incumbent upon them to honor, it is incumbent upon them to honor the conjugal rights and not to commit any acts of impropriety, for which if they do, you have the right to reprimand them. But you cannot reprimand them severely. That means we have no right to be beating them and acting like, you know, somebody we own them. No, we don't have that right. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is our example. Whenever his wives acted out of jealousy, whenever his wives, they acted in some ways, Allah advised them. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was always gentle with them. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never beat a wife. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu never beat a wife. Umar ibn Khattab never beat a wife. And Ali ibn Abi Talib never beat a wife. So this is the Khulafa al-Rashideen. So when we want to talk about that issue, or the unbelievers want to talk about that issue, that's the reference that we give. And that's the interpretation that we have regarding that issue. If your wives refrain from impropriety and they are faithful to you, feed and clothe them suitably. Remember the narration of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he passed by some women. You know, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he made the Isra and the Mi'raj, he saw some things that we have not seen, but he has related to us. And he said that while he was on the Isra and Mi'raj, Allah showed him the hellfire. And inside the hellfire, there was a lot of women. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the women asked him, O Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, why is that? He said, he saw in there a large number of women who were accustomed to abusive talking, harmful talking. Abusive and harmful talk mean slandering people, telling tales, talking about things they have no right to talk about, and also being ungrateful to their husbands. You know, it's like you can give a sister a house, you can give her even a car, clothe her, feed her, do everything for her. But when you do something she doesn't like, she says, I never seen no good in you, you ain't never did nothing for me. This this the Prophet said is like ingratitude. And the other thing is that men should not tell their wives, why are you so jealous? What else they gonna be? Allah, he gave the woman jealousy like he gave the man bravery. So the Prophet ﷺ said, if any women, they want to get the reward of the mujahideen, of the mujahid, they don't need to go to war. All they need to do is control their jealousy. If the woman control her jealousy, she's going to get the same reward as the mujahid who is able to overcome his fear when he goes out to lose his life. Remember that there are two qualities in which women can maintain leverage over their husbands and preference in the sight of Allah. These two things is sabr and modesty. Patience and modesty. If the woman is patient, she can elevate herself beyond her husband in the sight of Allah. And if she is modest in her speech, in her dress, in her behavior, she also can earn a presence with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Her patience is manifested through her worship, and obedience through difficulties and adversities. Her modesty is manifested through her guarding herself from other men and protecting the honor and property of her husband. The Muslim women, our sisters, our mothers, our wives, our aunties, our daughters, if they want to know how they should act, look to the best of women. The best and the most beautiful and desirable women are really those who have the highest level of devotion, ibadat, and are strong in preserving the Islamic covenant, their aqidah with Allah. Remember the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, blessed is the woman who wake in the latter part of the night to pray tahajjud, and also wake their husbands to do the same. Subhanallah. See, if the sisters really want to earn a reward and a distinction with Allah, set your clocks for 3 o'clock in the morning and get up and wash and pray 2 or 4 raka'ah. And then after that, go and wake your husband and tell him, Ya Habibi, why you don't pray tahajjud with me? See what kind of man he really is. And brothers, if your wife wakes you up for the Fajr prayer, and you're not able to get up, see what kind of man you are. All those who want to go somewhere and pray, you want to go and make jihad someplace. If you can't beat the sheets, you ain't going some distance to go lose your life. You just want people to say the brother went to lose his life. You just want people to say, yeah, the brother, he went on the rehla of jihad. But I wonder, how could a brother travel 5,000 miles to put his life in danger, but he cannot throw the sheets back and get up and make wudu and prepare himself to go 50 yards or 500 yards to go to the masjid and pray the Fajr prayer? So all of you who is thinking about going somewhere to die, before you go somewhere and die, throw the sheets back for Fajr and get in that first rank. The ideal woman, according to the Quran and the Sunnah, are those that avoid excessive and unnecessary talk. Sisters, listen now. Those that avoid excessive and unnecessary talk. And that's why the telephone in the hands of an unresponsible man is dangerous. But the telephone in the hands of a woman is more dangerous. Because women is given to gossiping, talking about each other, talking about what they got and what they don't have, complaining about their husbands, telling tales about things they saw or heard, passing issues and things on. It's just the nature of women, because men should be busy. However, there are some men of the Ummah who spend their nights on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, and those are the women, those are the men who's like women. If you see a brother spending a lot of time on Facebook and Twitter, YouTube, and on the telephone and talking, whatever, he's got some effeminate qualities about him. Because real men get up for Fajr prayer, and they don't have no 2-3 hours to be sitting up but hiding behind a screen and talking to other people about other people. Real men, they don't have 2 or 3 hours a night to sit up behind Facebook watching YouTube, because they got to get up for Fajr and they got to go to work. Real men in the daytime don't have that much time, unless that's their job. They don't have that much time to be on no computers, because they out working 8, 10, 12 hours for the ummah, for the da'wah, taking care of their wives and their daughters and their mothers and their sisters. So sisters, when Allah blesses you to have a real man, you need to appreciate it. And you should avoid excessive and unnecessary talk. The women who engage themselves in knowledge and remembrance of Allah. Sisters, use the computer and use the phone to seek knowledge. Download those applications on your phone that facilitate knowledge for you. Join those chat rooms or those platforms where there is knowledge being given that you can benefit from without leaving your homes. Sisters, give zakah and charity generously, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He placed the gold with the women. Men, they dig for the gold. Men work for the gold, but they pass it on to the women. Because we can't wear it. The women, they can wear it and they can keep it. And when their fathers die, and when their husbands die, the wealth comes over to the women. And the women, the best way for the women to save their wealth is through gold. And the best way for the sisters to earn the reward from Allah is when a time and an opportunity comes, give up some of that gold in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The women who are vigilant and committed to the establishment of the deen. That means women that are disciplined. women who pursue knowledge and propagation of the Islamic message, women who are engaged in knowledge and women who are engaged in da'wah, women who are disciplined and they have good moral behavior and they teach the same to others. Those women who want to emulate the character of the most excellent of all women, you should emulate, you should imitate Maryam, the mother of Isa alayhi salam, Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha bint Abu Bakr radiallahu anha, Fatima bint Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam radiallahu anha, Hafsa bint Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anha, and all the women from the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those women from those generations that immediately followed the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear sisters, the special role of the Muslim woman is to attain and to sustain taqwa, consciousness, fear of Allah, and to understand and implement the balance of equity given to her by Allah, to honor herself with marriage, and to cultivate a love to preserve her family, and to strive for social superiority and spiritual elevation. This special role of the Muslim woman should be not simply to live in an isolated way, but no, her role should be distinguished and should be evident in the modern society that we live in. So the challenge of Muslim women is that whatever you are doing, whatever Allah has ordered you to do, you have to make it relevant to the society where you are. Distinguish yourself inside the Muslim community. Find your place. Find your place to work, where you fit. Make your contribution. Obey your husband and also obey the Amir. Distinguish yourself as the leader of your family in the absence of your husband. Look after your family. Take care of your children. Take care of your mom. Take care of your father when he becomes elderly. Take care of your grandmother and father. This is a big job for the sisters to do. Primarily, it is their job to take care of those matters, while it is the duty of the husband to give her all the tools that she needs to do that. Sisters, take care of your identity. And your hijab is part of your identity. Don't listen to foolish non-Muslims. And don't listen to foolish Muslims who have went astray. Don't listen to the waswa of the shayateen. And don't listen to the waswa of the weak sisters telling you, sister, aren't you hot wearing all those clothes? Aren't you uncomfortable? Why do you have to wear all those clothes? The men don't have to wear those clothes. Is your husband insecure to make you wear those clothes? Sister, you're living in the modern world. Relax. Show a little flesh. Mix with the men. Have some fun. Sister, go to the club once in a while. Do a little shaking. Enjoy yourself. You're young, you're beautiful. This is how the people talk. And when you're in the university, or you're in the high school or the university, this is what's happening all around you, especially in the Western world. So our sisters who's in the university, and they keep their hijab, and they're trying to be the best of women, man, brothers, we need to be respecting these sisters, man. We need to be appreciating what we got. Because that's not easy, man. And when difficulties come, you know, when the kafirs when the Kafirs put pressure on the Muslims, I have seen in America and other places that when the Kafirs put pressure on the Muslims, brothers, they shaved. They cut the lihya, mustache, they shaved. Brothers, change their clothes. They come out of the throat, put on whatever they got to put on to hide. Brothers, be dressing, putting on the caps, so they can be on the low-low, incognito, so they can mix with the Kafirs. Brothers are doing that when the pressure comes. But you know, our sisters, they can't do that. Our sisters is maintaining. Under all circumstances, they holding it down. That's why I say our women, they the frontline soldiers. Sisters, pursue the knowledge. Compete with your husband in learning Quran. Compete with your husband in learning the Sunnah. Compete with your husband in giving da'wah. And here in the issue of da'wah, primarily men should concentrate on giving da'wah to men. You know, a lot of brothers, you know, especially in the university, you know, they like to give da'wah to the sisters. You know what I'm saying? Brothers say, I'm giving da'wah. I don't know what head giving da'wah. You know what I'm saying? You got to check yourself, brothers, and ask yourself, with all the men that's astray and need da'wah, why do you keep on picking out the sisters? And also, when you find sisters sitting with non-Muslim men giving them da'wah, something is wrong. The majority of people that enter Islam in the last 20 years in America or anywhere in the world, it's women. So sisters, when you develop your da'wah skills, you stay among the women. Give da'wah. You ain't got to be giving da'wah to no non-Muslim classmates, because in most cases, either he's fooling you or you fooling him. Sisters, compete with your husband in decent ways to impact the world. And on this here note, I want the brothers just to think about this here. You know, out of the 20 most influential human beings in the world, having the most power and influence in the world, 7 of them are women. 7 are women. So if you think that a woman can't lead a country, then you got to look at Angela Merkel. You got to look at the lady down there in Argentina. They're running a country. That shows that women have the capability, not that the Quran or the Sunnah recommended that, but they can do that when there are not sufficient men. Our mother Aisha, radiallahu anha, when some people slaughtered or murdered Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anha, she put on her armor. She got on her camel and got her weapons ready to go out to do jihad. But Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu and other companions, they prevented her from doing that because they felt that was below the dignity of our mother. But she was a hafiza of Quran. She was a muhaditha. She was also faqiha. So she understood the fiqh and she taught it to others. She understood the Quran. She was mufassira. But it was not her role. It was not her responsibility to go out and deal with that kind of an issue. So sisters, you can impact the world more than Michelle Obama. You can impact the world more than Angela Merkel. You can impact the world more than Oprah Winfrey. You can impact the world more than any powerful, influential woman in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have prescribed for you. Special issues for you sisters, our dear sisters, mothers and daughters, and wives, protect your hijab at all costs. Because the sister that takes off her hijab is like the manager of a bank that leaves the door open at night. So, if you heard that the manager of a bank left the door open, how would you feel? You would ask him to be fired and removed from his job. Because what's in the bank? Certificate boxes are there. You know, you got the room where everybody puts their special things, certificates of deposit there, special deposit boxes are there, all the values are there, the gold is there, you know, the pearls are there, the jewels are there, all the important papers are inside the bank, and they got gates, and they got locks, and they got bars, and they got security systems there to protect all that. Well, I say that the value of our women is worth more than all that. And your hijab is the bank, is the lock of the bank. So sisters, when you take your hijab off or you allow your beauty to be seen, you're like the manager of a bank who left the door open. And the man who does not advise his wife or his daughters or his mother or his auntie or his sisters when they remove their hijab, then he is like, the Prophet called him their youth. Their youth. That's like the man, he don't even care if his wife should be mixing with men. He doesn't care even if she be shaking hands with men. He doesn't care if she go out on the street at late at night. He is their youth. And the Prophet said, that kind of man, Allah won't even look at him on the day of judgment. Sisters, prepare yourself for marriage. Mothers, prepare your daughters for marriage. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, when your daughters reach the age of menstruation, you start preparing her for marriage. He didn't say get her married right then. According to the norm of the society. But you start talking to her about that. You start preparing her psychologically and emotionally. You start showing her how to cook, how to sew, how to do different things inside the house, how to talk, how to speak, how to please her husband. The mothers have to start talking to the girls. So when the girl reaches that age where she knows, mother knows, she's ready, she has the tools that she needs. And this whole idea that women need to finish college or university before they get married, this is just some kafir foolishness. This is the silliest thing in the world. That's like baking a cake and putting the cake outside on the steps to cool off. That's like cooking the best meal you can and waiting until next week to share that meal. Can you imagine a Muslim father preventing his daughter from marriage because he wants her to finish the university? I mean, in the Western world, what's he smoking? What kind of deception is he under? In the high school, she's forced to mix with boys. And in the college, she's forced to mix with boys. And in the university, she's forced to mix with boys. And unfortunately, not just to mix with boys, but she's also forced to mix with women who love women more than men. So you're telling me you're waiting for her to finish college, and you expect her to be pure, secure, untouched? I don't know what you're smoking. Brothers, fathers, encourage the sisters to get married within the framework and constitution of the society. no problem. If the society said they can't get married till they are 16, they should be ready. They should have all the tools. If the society said they cannot get married until they're 18, they should have all the necessary tools. And when someone asked the Prophet, when should they get married, he said, bisurah. That means without any delay. And there's no problem. Brothers, you don't have to wait to marry a sister until you buy a house and the furniture, you know, and all the other things that go with it. No. In your house where you live with your mother and father, you marry a sister and bring her home to your house in your own room. Or you can move into the house of her mother and father because she has her own room. It's many different ways we can satisfy this issue without putting the difficulty upon the young brothers and sisters. And how nice it would be for a young brother and sister in high school to get married and to get up in the morning and meet his wife and they'd be walking to school together hand in hand. Well, ain't that sweet, man? And they in the university or they in the college and they meet every morning and they meet each other and they walk in hand. How would it feel, brother, for you to be in the university or the college and you walk across the campus with your honey? So we have to think of practical ways to protect our women and practical ways to protect our sisters and our brothers. We have to have practical ways to do that so we do not fall into the trap of promiscuity, you know, that is overexposure between men and women just because the society recommends that or because the society is tolerant towards that. Sisters, look after the human rights of others. And brothers, look after the human rights of our sisters. And also, sisters, protect the new Muslim sisters. Protect them from their families, sometimes who hate them and hate their decision. Protect them from the brothers, sometimes who are wolves. You know, there's brothers who they just be waiting for new sisters to come through. It's like fresh meat. They don't want to take care of the sister. They just want to have her, use her, take advantage of her, not give the rights to her, like he owns her. Sisters, protect the new sisters from that. And brothers, protect our new sisters from those kinds of brothers. If you have the wilayah of a sister, you have to examine a brother when he comes to say he wants to marry her. Ask him, Akhi, where you work at? Aki, where do you live? Aki, who are you? Aki, what's your tools? What's your skills? What's your resources? You got money in the bank? Do you drive a car? Check his background. See if he got a warrant out for him. Check his family. See if he comes from a good family. Because you would do that for your sister, your blood sister, so why you don't do that for a new sister? This is very important. The other thing is, sisters, protect your society. This is where you live. And chances are, regardless of where your parents came from, chances are you're not going back there to live. And chances are your parents are not going back there to live. Take care of the society where you live. Make good contributions to the society where you live. Make sure that your neighbor, your colleague, your co-worker, and the non-Muslims that you associate with, make sure that you have good relationships with them. And sisters, there's nothing more valuable than for you to be a caretaker for your family. My dear brothers and sisters, surely Allah is the best knower. We ask that He accept only the best of what we have said or listened to. Brothers and sisters, that's the end of my presentation on that topic. And so without taking a break and without any hesitation, we want to shift right over to the next article for our gathering here. As I understand, and all of us, we can understand too, there is a serious humanitarian crisis taking place in Syria today. Now, without getting political, without becoming a source of support or propagation for any factor, we just want to deal with the humanitarian crisis. Some of us should simply just go on the internet and look at some of the images of the refugees in Syria. Muslim sisters and their families. Muslim brothers and their families who are living without shelter, who are living without clean water, who are living without food, who are living without decent clothing. And they are wounded, many of them, without no access to medicine. These are our Muslim brothers and sisters. And I know some brothers may feel the need to want to go there and get involved in the social political crisis itself. That's a decision you have to make between you and your father and whoever is your leader, your advisor here. But that's not our discussion here. What we can do, which may be more important, is that we can provide them with support. You see? Because you see all the water that we're drinking? See all the food that we eat? All the restaurants we go to? All the nice clothes that we have? And the hospitals that we can go to? And all the things that are affordable to us and accessible to us? Our brothers and sisters, they are suffering. Babies laid out on the ground, nothing to cover them. Our sisters, wounded, hurt, in situations that you cannot imagine. The pictures will tell a story. So today, brothers and sisters, some brothers, alhamdulillah, have come up with a very powerful way to assist those refugees. The refugees in Syria, they are forced to buy bread from Turkey. So bread has got to be baked in Turkey and then shipped into Syria across borders. By the time it gets there, the bread is not fresh. But the bread is very expensive. So the brothers, they came up, mashallah, the way Muslims can figure something out is just unbelievable. So the brothers came up with a beautiful solution. They said, let us buy a flour mill. A flour mill. To take corn, to take flour, to take wheat or barley, and mill it. Grind it. Then the people can just take water and mix it and make their own bread. Say Allahu Akbar. Allah. The mill, it costs 20,000. And we need to send, if we could, we need 100 mills. We need 100 of those to send into the refugee camps. Last night, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Copenhagen, we got pledges to buy 2 mills, 40,000. And we asked all the Muslims who was there, who made those pledges, to fulfill their pledges in the next 30 days. Because if you was out there in the cold and you couldn't eat, you wouldn't want to be waiting those 3 days, 3 months, and 4 months for brothers and sisters to be paying, you know, like, little by little by little. It's an emergency. It's a crisis. So today, we want to raise, in this group, we want to raise at least enough for another meal. And tonight, or today itself, we want to match. We want to do what the brothers and sisters did in Copenhagen. And there wasn't that many more in Copenhagen than there is here. It doesn't matter if you're young or old, you see. If all of us think about this here, if we all just take out the phone or two that we carry with us, How much does an iPhone cost here? How many euros does an iPhone cost? 700 or 800 euros? Okay. And then when you top it off and you use it, each one of us, just for our phone, we're using 1,000 euros. You buy the phone, and within 6 months, between the phone and your talking, you spent 1,000 euros, and you got nothing else to show for it except you got a phone. And everybody in this room got a phone. I see some kids on the bus stop. Can you believe it? I see some little kids on the bus stop. They're about 9 years old, and they got an iPhone. Or they got that Samsung, that big phone, it's bigger than their head. These are kids. Then you got the laptop. Then you got your PC. Then you got your HDTV at home. Then you got all these beautiful clothes. So brothers and sisters, all of us that's sitting here today, we could afford to give 1,000 or 500 or 300 or 100 for this. And we could raise this money so our brothers and sisters will be relieved. So look, let's just, let's be straightforward and let's be clear. We don't need to take no hour. You know, we don't have to be doing no bothering back and forth and like, you know, doing no auctions and all that. Let's be clear and straight. You know, right now, sister, God forbid, if your daughter or your son, your little baby, became ill and needed a $5,000 operation, you would raise that money in 30 days or less. And if you became ill or something else happened or your house burned down or your car crashed or any kind of situation could take place, and if any one of you lost your phone, you would replace it probably in 3 or 4 days. طويل الشوق يبقى في اغترابي فقير في الحياة من الصحاب ومن يأمنك يا دنيا الدوائي تدوسين المصاحب في التراب وأعجب من مريدك وهو يدري بأنك في الورى أم العجاب ولولا أن لي معنى جميلا لبعت المكس فيها بالذهاب الشوق يبقى في اغترابي فقير في الحياة من الصحاب ومن يأمنك يا دنيا الدواهي تدوسين المصاحب في التراب وأعجب من مريدك وهو يدري بأنك في الورى أم العجاب ولولا أن لي معنى جميلا لبعت المكس فيها بالذهاب رأيت الله في ذا الكون ربا جميع الكائنات له تحابي شواهد أنه فرد جليل على رغم المجادل بالكلاب رأيت الله في ذا الكون ربا جميع الكائنات له تحابي شواهد أنه فرد جليل على رغم المجادل بالكذاب تأمل قدرة الرحمن وانظر سيهديك التأمل لك
الصواب ومد الطرف في كل النواحي سؤالك سوف يرجع بالجواب من الشوق يبقى في اغترابي فقير في الحياة من الصحاب ومن يأمنك يا دنيا الدواهي تدوسين المصاحب في التراب وأعجب من مريدك وهو يدري بأنك في الورى أم العجاب ولولا أن لي معنى جميلا لبعت المكث فيها بالذهاب تفيا من ظلال الأرض حينا ولا تغتر يوما بالسراب وقف فوق القبور فرب الذرى ستحمدها وتغوي بالإياب تفيا من ظلال الأرض حينا ولا تغتر يوما بالسراب وقف فوق القمور فرب الذرى ستحمدها وتهوي بالإياب ورتل نومة القرآن تلقى يباعدك الثواب عن العقاب وتابع مرسلا هاد حكيما أشعة حكمة من كل باب الشوق يبقى في اغترابي فقير في الحياة من الصحاب ومن يأمنك يا دنيا الدواهي تدوسين المصاحب في التراب وأعجب من مريدك وهو يدري بأنك في الورى